الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانه وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا ترضى يا عبد الله أن يعطيك الله دارا في الجنة خيرا منها وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وأهل بيته وذريته ومحبيه وأتباعه وأشياعه وعلينا معهم أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين Thus far, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have discussed the detailed incident of the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the very important role and sensitive role which Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an played in protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in seeing to the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and selflessly sacrificing everything of his, sacrificing his own wealth, risking the lives of his family members in protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in seeing to the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was because of this that on one occasion in the time of Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an as Khalifa, when someone or some people began to express some type of sentiments or these type of sentiments where they felt that perhaps Umar radiallahu an was greater than Abu Bakr radiallahu an. So when Umar radiallahu an heard this, then he says to them, Wallahi la laylatum min Abi Bakrin khayrum min Ali Umar. Forget Umar radiallahu an, Umar being greater than Abu Bakr radiallahu an, one night of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and that is the night that he spent in the cave with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one night is better than Umar and the entire family of Umar radiallahu an. So this was what Abu Bakr radiallahu an had done for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had discussed the incident of Suraqa bin Malik and how he approached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu an, trying to apprehend them, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected them. And at that occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to Suraqa bin Malik that the day would come when you would be wearing the bangles of the Persian emperor of Kisra. And that day did come. In the time and the khilafat of Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu an, when Umar radiallahu an's armies had conquered the Persian Empire, and then the valuables and the wealth of the Persian Emperor had come to Medina Munawwara, then Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu an called Suraqa bin Malik, and he took the bangles of the Persian Emperor of Kisra, and he placed it on Suraqa bin Malik, on his hands, for a little while, fulfilling this prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says to Suraqa bin Malik, that say Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. Say Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has allowed a Bedouin, a villager of the Banu Mudlij, to wear the bracelets and the bangles of the Persian Emperor of Kisra. This was the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and the yaqeen that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time his life was in danger. But such was his conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take my deen all over the world. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that moment, he mentioned that prophecy to Suraqah bin Malik. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come true. And that day they did come. Thereafter, Umar radiallahu anhu took out the bangles, and then the wealth of Kisra was distributed as booty among the Muslims. Now coming to the incidents of the hijrat of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, really every Sahabi's hijrat is a different story altogether. And it has different enjoyment, different motivation, different inspiration, and different lessons for us. Although we plan to have this program over 2 weeks, it's gone to the third week, and I don't think I'm going to be able to finish in this third week also. Obviously, it was a great journey. And every Sahabi, the sacrifice that he had to make, leaving everything behind, as we will hear, what sacrifices, the different circumstances that they had, and within this, their circumstance, the sacrifice that they had to make, to leave everything behind, just for the protection and the propagation of deen. So, the first Sahabi that went over to Medina Munawwara, or that was sent to Medina Munawwara, before the command and instruction of Hijrat, was Sayyiduna Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu an. As you had mentioned, that when the Ansar had pledged allegiance at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the 12th year after Hijrah, which is known as Bay'atul Aqabatil Ula, it was a small group of them, a handful of them, 12 of them that had embraced Islam and pledged allegiance at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to send to them a person who would teach them deen. An interesting point is that generally Sahaba learned deen when they were grown up. Today we have restricted the learning of deen to a child. A child will learn deen. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum learned deen when they were grown up, because they accepted Islam at that time. So there's no restriction to learning deen. Alhamdulillah, we have the facility in our masjid of the correct recitation of the Qur'an Majeed, learning the Qur'an Majeed. Let us avail of these facilities that we have, and let us increase our knowledge of deen. So this was the talab, this was the request, that we have accepted Islam, but we don't know about deen. O Nabi of Allah, send with us a person that will teach us deen. وَيُقْرِئُنَا الْقُرْآنِ. Specifically, he will teach us the recitation of Qur'an. Sometimes we have learned the Qur'an Sharif when we are young, but we may have not learnt it correctly with the laws of Tajweed. Or perhaps we may have learnt it, but we have become rusty. We have forgotten certain things. So the concern of us learning the Qur'an Sharif and learning our deen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends two Sahaba radiallahu anhum. One was the famous youngster of Sahaba, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu an, whom we have heard on many occasions, the luxuries and the comforts that he was accustomed to. He was brought up with all these kind of luxuries, and he gave everything up for the sake of deen, for the sake of iman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends the blind Sahabi, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Ummi Maktum radiallahu an. And they go to Medina Munawwara. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu an does sterling work in Medina Munawwara. He used to make gasht in Medina Munawwara. He would go to the different homes, to the different families, and present deen to them. And in a very beautiful way, with his good akhlaq, he won over the people of Medina Munawwara. Great, great leaders of the Ansar, who thereafter became illustrious Sahaba, who became the backbone of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu an, Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu an, they were initially hostile towards him, but then with love, with akhlaq, he won them over, and they brought Islam at his hands. One historian writes, "Kafa bihada fakhran lahu." This is sufficient as an honor, as an accolade, for Sayyiduna Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu an, that Sayyiduna Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu an had accepted Islam at the hands of Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu an. 1 year later, he comes to Makkah Mukarrama. Now, he comes with a group, big group of Ansar, either 75 or 88 different reports, and they come to Makkah Mukarrama. When they reach Makkah Mukarrama, he goes straight to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he goes to give kar guzari, to give a report to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on how the Ansar have accepted Islam and how well they have responded to deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hearing this report of Sayyiduna Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu an, fasurra Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam bikulli ma akhbarahu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was delighted. He was elated. He was so happy with the work that Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu an had done in Madinah Munawwara. At this point, respected friends, let us understand that our a'mal are presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And occasionally we are blessed with the opportunity of physically presenting ourselves to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah bless us with opportunities time and time again, with the true respect and adab and muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when our a'mal are presented, and when we present ourselves before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it should also be that our a'mal bring cheer and bring delight and bring happiness to the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It should never be that our a'mal hurt the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu an, this youngster, what he did in Madinah Munawwara made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam so happy. Then his mother hears that he's in Makkah Mukarrama. His mother was very attached to him. She spoiled him. She gave him every comfort. She heard that he's in Makkah Mukarrama. But he went first to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she sends a message. Ya Aq, ataqdamu baladan ana fihi la tabda'u bi. Oh disobedient son. Oh disloyal son. You come to a city where your mother resides and you go visit someone else besides your mother. Even the kuffar of that time understood the position of the mother. That when you go to visit your mother first. So she says, you come to a place and you go visit someone else besides your mother. How disobedient you are. So he sends a message back and he says, ma kuntu li abda'a bi ahadin qabla rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The mother's place is there. The mother's position is in place. Definitely the mother has the position. But there's something and someone more important for me than you, O my mother. And that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I can't go and visit anyone before visiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thereafter, he takes leave from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he goes to his mother. His mother says to him, you still on this religion that you have adopted, leaving the way of your forefathers and your ancestors. You're still on this wrong religion. So he says to his mother, oh my mother, I'm not on any wrong religion. Rather, I am on that deen, Islam, which Allah has chosen for us. And Allah has chosen this deen for his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then his mother says to him, that you're being so insensitive to me. You're being so insensitive to me. You're not realizing how much of pain I am going through. Firstly, you ran away and you went to Habasha. You went away to Abyssinia. You left me like this. I was grieving over you. Then you come and you ran away to Yathrib now. You're not appreciating or you're not being sensitive to my feelings, to my emotions. What's going through my heart? So Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu replies and he says to his mother, and these are golden words. And this is perhaps the gist of the hijrat of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He says, oh my mother, afirru bi deeni antaftinuni. Oh my mother, the reason why I'm running away, why I've ran away to Abyssinia, why I ran away to Yathrib, to Madinah Munawwara, it's not because I'm being insensitive to you. It's not because I don't understand your emotions. It's not because I don't love you. Rather, it is because there's something more important in my life. This is the gist of the message. There's something more important in my life. And there's something more precious to me. There's something more valuable than to me. And that is my deen. My deen is too precious. My deen is too valuable. May Allah bless us with the realization and understanding. And let us understand the value of our deen. So he says, Afirru bidini. Like a person who has something very valuable. And he fears that someone is going to rob him. Someone is going to steal that item from him. What he does? He will run away. He will run away to protect that valuable item that he has. He's saying to his mother, I've got something very valuable. And that is my deen. And I'm running away. I'm fleeing just to protect my deen. Why? Antaftinuni. Because my fear is that you would put me in fitna. You would challenge my deen. You would become an impediment and an obstacle in my deen. At this point, again, a point of reflection. There are so many things, so many situations, and some people that become a means of fitna for our deen. Sometimes it is for a youngster, or also for a grown-up. It is a woman that is becoming a fitna for his deen. Some illicit relationship. Sometimes it is a device that it is affecting our deen, becoming a fitna of our deen. Then in these situations, sometimes it is a place, it is a circle, it is an environment which is going to rob us of our deen. In this situation, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu is giving us that direction. What we must do in that situation, afirru bidini. Now I must take my deen and run. I must take my deen and run. My deen is too valuable. I have to protect my deen. I cannot affect my deen to be affected. I cannot allow my deen to be affected. So this is what he says to his mother, that it's not that I don't have these emotions. I have the emotions. But the fear is because of my emotional attachment with my mother. This will cause me to affect my deen. So therefore I have to run away just to protect my deen. And this was not only the situation with Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anh. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, later on when she was asked on an occasion regarding hijrah, then she explained what was the catalyst and what was the reason for Sahaba radiallahu anhu making hijrat. She says, يَفِرُّ أَحَدُهُمْ بِدِينِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَخَافَةَ أَن يُفْتَنَ عَلَيْهِ. The exactly same thing she says, that Sahaba ran away, protecting the deen. They ran to Allah, they ran to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of fear that their deen must be put in fitna. That their deen must be affected, their deen must be challenged. Out of this fear, Sahaba ran away. So Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu gives this answer to his mother. Now he feared and he sensed that his mother is plotting to detain him, to imprison him. He was locked up before and he feared that now she's going to do something like this. So he says that if anyone comes close to me, I will kill that person. Now I will kill that person to protect my deen. So the mother cried. Then he presents Islam and deen to his mother in such a beautiful manner, with so much of love, so much of concern. He says, Ya Ummah, O my beloved mother, Inni laki nasih, alayki shafiq, O my mother, I wish well for you. I am very affectionate and very, very concerned about you. So, oh my mother, bring iman. Accept this kalima. His mother takes an oath by the stars and says, I will never accept this religion. This religion has made you a fool. It has robbed you of your intelligence. I will never accept this religion. But then she says that you can remain on your religion and I will remain on my religion. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu now remains in Makkah Mukarramah. The month of Zulhijjah, he came for Hajj. He remained for the remainder of Zulhijjah. The month of Muharram, the month of Safar, and towards the end of Safar, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu now makes hijrat to Madinah Munawwarah. So initially when he went to Madinah Munawwarah, that was not hijrat. That was not going for good. That was because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him for a task. Now he makes hijrat to Madinah Munawwarah, and he reaches Madinah Munawwarah on the first of Rabiul Awwal, 12 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached Madinah Munawwarah. So this was Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu and his hijrat. The Sahabi who is known as the first Muhajir, The first Sahabi to make hijrat, meaning to give up everything in Makkah Mukarramah and to go to Medina Munawwara, was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His mother was Barra bint Abdul Muttalib. Barra was the paternal aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is the first cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the milk brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hamza radiallahu an, all drank milk from the slave girl of Abu Lahab, Suwaybah. So this was a sahabi by the name of Abu Salama, Abdullah ibn Abdul Asad radiallahu an. He was the first sahabi to make hijrat. He was from among those Sahaba that accepted Islam right in the beginning. He has this privilege or this accolade that he was the first in many things. So he was from among the very early Sahaba to accept Islam, approximately the 11th Sahabi to accept Islam. He was the one who made hijrat on the first occasion to Abyssinia. So again, the first in hijrat to Abyssinia. Then when news reached them in Abyssinia, it was actually a rumor that reached Abyssinia that the conditions in Makkah Mukarramah have become conducive. So they came back to Makkah Mukarramah when they realized that it has become even more hostile. Once again, he makes hijrah to Abyssinia. A second migration with his wife, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, who later on, after his demise, became the mother of the believers. She became the blessed wife and respected wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, a second time he migrated to Abyssinia. Then he came back to Makkah Mukarramah. But because of the persecution of the Quraysh, when the Ansar had accepted Islam, and they had pledged allegiance on the first occasion, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had not yet presented the offer of hijrat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa coming over to Madinah Munawwara. That was on the second Aqaba. This was the first occasion. When he realized that now there are Muslims in Madinah Munawwara, he felt that Madinah Munawwara will be a more conducive environment for my deen. So although it was still not the command of Allah to migrate to Madinah Munawwara, this Sahabi, it was his choice. It was his choice to migrate to Madinah Munawwara. Obviously, he must have asked permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this hijrat was one of the most difficult hijrats. One of the most difficult hijrats. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu leaves Makkah Mukarramah. This is 1 year before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba make hijrat. He leaves Makkah Mukarramah. He seats his wife Ummu Salama radiallahu anha on the camel. The young child Salama is placed in the lap. And as he leaves Makkah Mukarramah, his in-laws, the Banul Mughira, they see him leaving. They come and they apprehend him, they stop him. They grab hold of the reins of the camel. And they say, where are you taking our daughter? You first took her to Abyssinia one time, second time, now you're taking her all over. You're moving all over. If you want to continue, you can continue. We cannot control you. But our daughter is going nowhere. And they grab hold of the camel's reins. And they pull Ummu Salama radiallahu anha away from Abu Salama radiallahu anha. Now the first separation. Husband is separated from the wife and child. When this happens, then his family, the Banu Abdul Asad, they come in. And they intervene. They say, if you doing this to our family member, then that small child Salama doesn't belong to you. He's from our family. He has our surname. They come and they begin to grab that young child. A young child. Imagine the emotions of Abu Salama radiallahu anhu on one hand. Imagine the emotions of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. One happy family unit migrating to Madinah Munawwara, going to a place of safety. And now this happens. So he's separated from them. And now there's a tug of war. Literal tug of war. And there's no rope in between. It is this young child Salama that's in between. On one hand it's her family that's pulling. And on the other hand it's the husband's family that's pulling. Until finally the husband's family get the upper hand and they take this young child Salama radiallahu anhu. Ummu Salama radiallahu anhu says, in a moment, فَفُرِّقَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ زَوْجِي وَبَيْنَ ابْنِي. Our entire family was torn apart. My husband is gone to Medina. I am gone to my family, and my child is gone to the in-laws. But all of the sacrifice had to be made for the sake of deen. All the sacrifice had to be made for the sake of deen, for the sake of preservation and propagation of deen. So Ummu Salama radiallahu anha says, at this point, a point of reflection, that the entire family was torn apart, and they were prepared to tolerate that. We will tolerate that, but our deen is primary. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha could have told her husband, Abu Salama radiallahu anha, what you worried about going to Medina now? Let's just stay here in Makkah. As a happy family, we live in Makkah. No. She understood that deen is more valuable. My husband's deen is more valuable. I cannot become an impediment in my husband striving in the path of Allah. Supporting the spouse in deeni endeavors. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she's tolerating this. Tolerating being torn apart from her husband. Tolerating from being torn apart from an infant child, a young child. All of this we'll sacrifice. We'll manage all of this. But the deen of Allah is first in our life. So Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, he goes to Medina Munawwara. Here they tore apart the family. Why? For the sake of deen. And unfortunately today, as a family unit, we are breaking and flouting the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times as a family we are breaking the commands of Allah? Sometimes we are taking our children to those wrong places. We are exposing our children to those wrong influences. We, in breaking the command of Allah, we are taking our entire family. In preserving the deen, they were prepared to tear up the whole family. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, obviously a mother is a mother after all. They understood deen is first. So they made the right choice. But the emotions are going to be there. A mother being separated from her child in this manner. She says, for an entire year, every morning I would come out to a place at the outskirts named Abtah, and I would sit there and cry for the entire day. Whole day I would cry. I would return. Next morning I go, and I cry the whole day, and I return. Until after 1 year, one of my family members passed by, and he takes pity on me, and he goes to the rest of the family and says, aren't you all having mercy on this poor woman? You can't see what she's going through. Allow her to go to join up with her husband. So they allowed her, they freed her to go. So once they let her go, then the husband's family was prepared to give over the child also, because she's going to Medina Munawwara. So they give the child. Now how is this woman going to travel? All alone. From Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. It wasn't a train journey, high speed 2.5 hours, or GMC 4-5 hours. It was a long, arduous journey in the desert, on camelback. But for the sake of deen, all the sacrifice had to be made. On this point, let us understand, this doesn't give permission that a woman can travel without a mahram. This was extreme circumstances. And this was before many of the laws of hijab were revealed. Perhaps, most probably at that time, it was not even necessary. The laws of mahram, etc. were not part of deen. So it doesn't become license now that a woman can travel without a mahram. So now Ummu Salama radiallahu anha says, I mount my camel and I take my child. I'm going. Where I'm going? I'm going to Medina. And who I'm going with? She says, there was no one with me but Allah and my child. Having her trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to go to Medina Munawwara. I need to join up with my husband. I need to go to Medina to protect my deen. Everyone, every person among Sahaba radiallahu anhum, no matter who he may be, everyone understood that deen is priority. Whatever sacrifice we make, we will make that sacrifice, but we can never compromise on our deen. So she says, now I leave. I leave Makkah Mukarramah. And when I reach Tan'im, then there's a person, Uthman bin Talha, who was not a Muslim at that time. Later on, Allah blessed him with deen. Allah blessed him with Islam, radiallahu an. He sees her, and he says to her, Ila Ain, where are you going? A lady and a child, where are you going all alone? She says, I'm going to my husband in Medina Munawwara. Who's traveling with you? No one but Allah. He says, I cannot leave you like this. Tan'im is the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah, where we go when we want to perform Umrah, when we're in Makkah Mukarramah, Masjid Aisha, right there. right in Makkah Mukarramah. And where is Madinah Munawwara? He says, I can't allow you to go like this. And he accompanies her on this journey. A kafir, a disbeliever. But the concern that he had, this level of service. Why? Because there's a woman that is in a problem. How can I allow her in this way? But at the same time, she says, I did not come across a more noble person than him. A person of greater integrity than him. This was an ideal opportunity to take advantage of the woman, all in the wilderness. But she says, whenever we reach a place, he will make the animal sit down, the camel sit down, and he will go far away. He's a disbeliever, but the level of respect for a woman, the haya that he had, he would move away. Why? Because there is a woman that's going to come off, get off, dismount the camel. The youngsters will say, now is the time we need to see. We need to see this time. He says, there's a woman that's coming out. He moves far away. When I would dismount the camel, he would come, take the camel, tie the camel to a tree, and he will rest far away from me. When it was time to leave, he will bring the camel again, seat the camel next to me, and he will go away. When I mounted the camel, then he would come, he would make the camel stand, and then he would walk. Like this, the entire journey, days traveling for days, until they reach the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara, they reach Quba. Now we would think the least he'll do is he'll ask the husband for a remuneration. What I did, you know my time, I did so much for your wife and child. And the husband will happily give. At that moment, who won't give? But when he comes there, he says to Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, your husband is in this locality. فَدْخُلِيهَا عَلَىٰ بَرَكَةِ اللَّهِ You may enter here with the blessings of Allah. Immediately he turns away and he goes back to Makkah Mukarramah. A disbeliever, and this level of selflessness in serving. This is a lesson for us. In serving people, and doing it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says in the Quran Majeed, لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ That whatever charitable works we do, whatever generosity we show, it's only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا We'll say, you know, I did so much for that person, he didn't even tell me a jazakallah. At least he could tell me jazakallah. But these pious servants of Allah, they say, لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا We don't want any thanks from you. We don't want any jazakallah from you. So this was how he had taken them. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha says, وَاللَّهِ مَا أَعْلَمُ أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَصَابَهُمْ مَا أَصَابَ آلَ أَبِي سَلَمَا Wallah, I don't know of any family that had to go through so much of difficulty like my family had to undergo for the sake of deen. And then she further reiterates the point that I did not see a man as noble as Uthman bin Talha. So, this was Abu Salama radiallahu an, his hijrat and the hijrat of his wife 1 year later. Then, among the early sahaba to make hijrat was Amir bin Rabia radiallahu an, with his wife as well, and her name was Layla bintu Abi Hathma radiallahu anha. She is known as the first woman to make hijrat. At this point, let us just reflect, let us just think. Most of us, if not all of us, myself included, perhaps this is the first time we hearing the name of this sahabiyah, Layla bintu Abi Hathma. But what contribution she did for deen. The first woman to make hijrat was this sahabiyah. But we don't even know about this sahabiyah. How much more important it becomes for us to study the lives of sahaba radiallahu anhum. Study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the least appreciation we can show to them. That we learn about them, we speak about them, and we appreciate their sacrifices. Another amazing household that made hijrat, and their hijrat was also a very unique hijrat. Also the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The cousins of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were the cousins from another aunt. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's other paternal aunt was Umayma bintu Abdul Muttalib. One was Barra, the mother of Abu Salama. This was Umayma bintu Abdul Muttalib. And her children were the children who are known as the children, the Banu Jahash. Zainab bintu Jahash radiallahu anha, also Ummul Mu'mineen. Then her brother Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anha. So this household, their hijrat was also unique. The entire household, the entire family migrated to Medina Munawwara. Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anha, the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his first cousin, he takes his entire family. And he takes his blind brother. His blind brother, the cousin of Rasulullah as well. Abu Ahmad Abd ibn Jahash radiallahu anhu. Again, this is perhaps the first time we're hearing his name. Abu Ahmad Abd ibn Jahash radiallahu anhu. He's a blind sahabi. He's married to the daughter of Abu Sufyan, Fari'a bint Abi Sufyan radiallahu anha. This sahabi also, he goes with his brother. He was a poet. And amazing words of poetry he had composed about this hijrat, etc. So, this family of Jahash, the children of Jahash, they migrate. His wife, the wife of Abu Ahmad, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, she was not interested in going to Medina Munawwara. She says to her husband, go anywhere else but not Medina. You can go to any other place, but not to Medina Munawwara. Finally, they migrate to Medina Munawwara. Very secretly, they leave. The whole house now is deserted. It's not just like a house. Now it's a family home. Like we have, maybe, we have a complex. Different family members living in that complex. And then the whole complex is now all vacant. It's deserted. What happens? Becomes like a ghost town, like a ghost home. So, when this happened, when they left to Medina Munawwara, a few of the leaders of Makkah were once walking around that time. Abu Jahl, Utbah bin Rabi'a, Shayba bin Rabi'a, Abbas radiallahu anhu wasn't a Muslim at that time, he was also with them. And they see this deserted home. I'm mentioning all of this for us to understand the sacrifice that Sahaba made. They left everything. So, Utbah, he looks at this deserted home and he cries. Because obviously they were close to these people, they were their family, they were their friends. And now all of a sudden everything now is gone in a different direction because of this new religion according to them. And he says, he mentions one line of poetry of a previous poet, which is also very thought-provoking. He says, وَكُلُّ دَارٍ وَإِن طَالَتْ سَلَامَتُهَا يَوْمًا سَتُدْرِكُهَا النَّكْبَاءُ وَالْحَوْبُ. He says, every home, although it may be very nice and comfortable and may be very inhabited for a long time, one day that home will definitely be deserted. Meaning death is going to come and people are going to leave this world. The lesson for us, no matter how comfortable our homes may be, no matter how palatial our homes may be, we need to understand one day that home will be there but we won't be there. So nevertheless, Utbah says this. So Abu Jahl turns to Abbas radiallahu anhu, uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, it's because of you all, because of your family that we have ended up in this. Nevertheless, they move over to Medina Munawwara. Abu Sufyan, the father-in-law, he takes control. He was not yet a Muslim at that time. He expropriates the property. We understand what happens nowadays, expropriation. He expropriates the property and he sells over the property. Now they're in Medina Munawwara. And they hear that our property has been expropriated and has been sold. They were human beings after all. The emotions were there. Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah to complain that this is what has happened to our property there in Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comforts him. He consoles him. And he says, Ala tarda ya Abdullah, ay yu'tiyaka Allahu daran fil jannati khayran minha. Oh Abdullah, doesn't it please you that Allah will give you a far better mansion in Jannat? What's that one small property? You left it for Allah. Allah will give you far better than that in Jannat. He says, O Nabi of Allah, definitely I'm happy. This was Sahaba. You just needed to tell them about the promises of Akhirat, about the glad tidings of Akhirat, and that was sufficient for them. Again, we will hear about the other brother, the blind brother. When he was told about the promises of Akhirat, his mind left his property. Later on, when they came to Makkah Mukarramah, on the occasion of Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. So, Abu Ahmad, that blind sahabi, he now begins asking, inquiring about his home, where's my house? He was blind. He says, where's my house? So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Uthman radiallahu anhu, go to speak to him. Uthman radiallahu anhu takes him one side and he explains to him about the virtues and the thawab of akhirat, and immediately he keeps quiet. He stops questioning about his home. Rasulullah is holding his hand. Again, this poetry of his, which shows the emotional attachment after 8 years, for us to understand what sacrifice they made. He says, Habbada makkatu min wadi, biha amshi bila hadi, biha yaksuru uwadi, biha turkazu awtadi. He says, how beautiful a valley is Makkah Mukarramah. 8 years later, he's still reminiscing Makkah Mukarramah. He says, how beautiful a valley is Makkah Mukarramah. Biha amshi bila hadi. I can walk around in Makkah without a guide. And that is what historians write. He was so used to Makkah Mukarramah, a blind man, but he could walk from one side of Makkah to the other side without anyone helping him. Without any assistance. He knew the alleys and gullies of Makkah so well that he could walk in this way. So familiar he was, but he had to leave that. Although he was a blind sahabi, that blindness did not stop him from making hijrat and from going over to Madinah Munawwara. And then he says, Biha yaksuru awwadi. I got so many people that visit me here. I got so many things, so many properties and so many investments and so many developments here in Makkah Mukarramah. But everything was left and everything was forsaken for the sake of deen. We'll terminate on some lines of his poetry. As we explained, he was a poet. So some lines of his poetry, which he mentioned regarding this journey of hijrat of his. And the reason again is for us to appreciate the sacrifice that they had to make. The emotions that they had, the emotional sacrifice that they had to make. And great lessons for us also in these words. He says, وَلَمَّا رَأَتْنِي أُمُّ أَحْمَدَ غَادِيًا بِذِمَّةِ مَنْ أَخْشَى بِغَيْبٍ وَأَرْهَبُ. When my wife saw me leaving in the protection of the one who I fear, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one that I am conscious of even in my secret moments, بِغَيْبٍ, even in my privacy, I am conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَقُولُ فَإِمَّا كُنْتَ فَاعِلًا فَيَمِّنْ بِنَ الْبُلْدَانَ وَالْتَنْأَ يَثْرِبُ. She says that go to any other place, but just keep Yathrib, keep Medina away from us. We don't want to go near Medina Munawwara. Listen to the answer that he gives. A great lesson again. He says, فَقُلْتُ لَهَا مَا يَثْرِبُ بِمَظِنَّةٍ وَمَا يَشَئِ الرَّحْمَانُ فَالْعَبْدُ يَرْكَبُ. He says, I replied to my wife and I said, that Medina and Yathrib is not the goal. That's not the objective. That's not the destination. وَمَا يَشَئِ الرَّحْمَانُ فَالْعَبْدُ يَرْكَبُ. Everything depends on the command of Rahman, on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not going to Yathrib, to Medina, because we want to go there. But when Rahman commands, فَالْعَبْدُ يَرْكَبُ, then the servant just has to ride and he has to move. Because it's a command of my Allah, I have to move. Now I don't have a choice on my destination, where I'm going. My Allah wants me to go there, so I'm going there. إِلَى اللَّهِ وَجْهِ وَالرَّسُولِ وَمَنْ يُقِمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ يَوْمًا وَجْهَهُ لَا يُخَيَّبُ. He says that my whole purpose and my goal and my direction is to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he gives a message and he says that any person who makes his objective of life and his qibla of life and his direction of life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يُخَيَّبُ, this person will never suffer failure. Respected friends, this is a great message. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lillah. Focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make Allah our objective. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the reason for our existence. We're living for Allah. We're dying for Allah. Mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. He's giving this message that when we make Allah our objective, Allah our goal, we will never ever be disappointed. Unfortunately, we have made material things our objectives in life. We have made material our qibla and our kaaba of life. And when that material goes, then we're disappointed. Then we are so upset. Why? Because we have made these things our objective. And these things are definitely going to disappoint us. Either we're going to leave them and go, or they're going to leave us one day. This sahabi is giving this lesson. Make Allah our objective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our goal. We will never ever be disappointed. And then very quickly he says, فَكَمْ قَدْ تَرَكْنَا مِنْ حَمِيمٍ مُنَاسِحٍ وَنَاسِحَةٍ تَبْكِي بِدَمْعٍ وَتَنْدُبُ وَنَاسِحَةٍ تَبْكِي بِدَمْعٍ وَتَنْدُبُ. How many friends we have left. How many bosom friends we have left. How many women are crying for us there in Makkah Mukarramah. That emotion. We left all of this. But why we left it? We left it for Allah. He says, تَرَى أَنَّ وَتْرًا نَأْيُنَا عَنْ بِلَادِنَا وَنَحْنُ نَرَى أَنَّ الرَّغَائِبَ نَطْلُبُ. You think that we have distanced ourselves from our town and from our city. Why? Because we are worried that we will be persecuted. Or another explanation could be because we want to take revenge later. We want to get strong here, build a base and then take revenge. But this is not our objective. This is not our purpose. This is a misconception that you may have. He says, وَنَحْنُ نَرَىٰ أَنَّ الرَّغَائِبَ نَطْلُبُ. The thing that we are after the thawab and the virtues of akhirat. We are after the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our goal and objective. This, respected friend, these words summarizes the emotions of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And it summarizes the sacrifices that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them on our behalf. The best of reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a small fraction of this jazba and this passion of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka ash-shukru kullu. Allahumma la nuhsi thanaan alayk. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وأهل بيته وشيعه وعلينا معهم أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اجز عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمتي. اللهم اجز أصحاب نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم عنا وأن الأمة خير الجزاء. اللهم اجزهم خير الجزاء. اللهم اجزهم خير الجزاء. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.